Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. Hey, thanks for being with us, everybody. Coming up this morning on the show in 20 minutes, Tracy Wolfson will join us here on the show from the NFL on CBS. We'll talk NFL with Tracy, who we love to do so with, coming up in about 20 minutes from now. Also, advanced analytics coming up later on in the hour. Please vote in the web poll. Is Mraz the only person that refers to eating a hot dog as a, quote, dong to the face? Please vote at CBS Sports Radio on Twitter. Please, this vote is very important. We need to know whether we are crazy or he is crazy. Have you ever heard anybody outside of Mraz refer to eating a hot dog as taking a, quote, dong to the face? I suppose this is a little bit like when you drink a beer, you took that Bud Light to the dome, something like that, or you take a shot of tequila, took that to the dome. I suppose it's a little bit like that, but none of us here on the show have ever heard anybody use the phrase to eat a hot dog, take a dong to the face. So we're asking you, are we crazy or is Mraz? I can't wait to see what the Wizard of Watch DA, Andrew Kaplan, digs up with advanced analytics on this question. But speaking of our fine, fleshy friend, noted Yankee honk, Piggy Doodle Dandy.
Pig.
Last night, the New York Yankees in Cleveland against the Indians. First round matchup. Taking on the ace of the Indian staff, one of the best pitchers in baseball, Shane Bieber. A lot of questions surrounding the Yankees this season. They were so bad on the road. I'm so sorry, as Shep would say. I feel so bad. The Yankees on the road against Bieber, underwhelming finish to the season. They had a 10-game win streak. That was the ham in the middle of a sandwich where the two pieces of bread were very, very mediocre. And they go into the playoffs, not even as division champions, as the Rays win the AL East on the road against the AL Central champs in the Cleveland Indians. And last night, with question marks surrounding how they're going to hit Bieber and how they play on the road, and Gerrit Cole, who hasn't been all that great in pressure pack situations so far in his young career for the Yankees, ends up a route for the Bombers. 12-3. They rough up Bieber. He gets just 4 2/3 innings working. He gives up 7 earned runs. 4 2/3, 7 earned runs, and everybody got into the action last night. Aaron Judge hits a home run. George, a 2-run shot in the first. Luke Voit, RBI doubled in the third. Brett Gardner, Gardy, party, has an RBI double in the fourth. DJ LeMahieu also has an RBI hit in the fourth.
It's 5-1. David John makes long gone.
David John makes poopy, and that's how the Yankees lead. I mean, Torres hits a home run. Urshela hits a sac fly. Torres, another RBI single. Gardner tacks on a Gardy party, plants one in the seventh. Even Giancarlo, pouring it on to the ninth, hits a solo home run. When the dust settles, it's a 12-3 win for the Yankees, and oof. It's a best of three. So now the Indians have to win the final two to move on. And this is interesting because the Yankees' bats came alive. And this is what we were waiting for all season long. Would the bats come alive and synchronize with their multi-hundred million dollar ace? And last night it did. Cole was great. He goes 7 innings, 2 earned runs. He has 13 strikeouts last night. 13 strikeouts. Didn't walk a guy. His control was amazing. And the Indians flailed. The Yankees hit. The Aces went head-to-head. And Cole wins in a landslide over Bieber. And now the pressure has shifted squarely on the Indians. And so the Yankees are feeling good. The Yankees came alive. The Yankees looked like the dominant team that we thought coming into the season. And yet our poor fellow could not tweet about it. Mraz had sworn off this season weeks ago, saying it's over. I'm waving the white flag. I'm not invested emotionally in this team, even though we know that's a lie. But because Mraz said it publicly here on the airwaves, he can't go back. Now we're holding him to it. Mraz promised he would not tweet last night, and he did not. He did not tweet about the Yankees. But because he is Mraz, and because he has a villainous mind, Mraz cannot be completely trusted. He is the worst type of loser because he's going to find a way just a shade of gray off so that he can piggy his way around. And look, he's the guy you love to hate. He's the villain here because last night he did not tweet about the Yankees. He did have a tweet about the Indians, which is a circumvention of tweeting about the Yankees. But then he did one even worse. He went to Facebook and he posted on Facebook, 1 down, 12 to go, hashtag NYY. And these are the reasons you hate Mraz. These are the reasons, because even though he couldn't keep his cloven hooves off of his phone for too long, he might have avoided the Twitter, but he couldn't do it the Facebook. And I usually throw the foghorn on you right now and not let you speak, but Bilotti, we're going to let him have a moment here. I just want to know, how can you sleep soundly? How can you look at yourself in the mirror knowing that you did send a social media message last night crowing about the Yankees?
Well, it wasn't crowing. That's a knock on the Yankees that we shouldn't be getting too high after one win. That's a long way to go before what they're supposed
please.
To do.
Oh, please.
And number two.
Please. That's a knock on the Yankees, saying 1 down, 12 to go is a knock on them.
Pig, yeah, because pig. That's how far they have to go before we really figure this out. Now, the other reason I'll do it, I have no problem admitting this. Facebook and Twitter, I guess I didn't even realize yesterday morning, which is my own problem, that yesterday was going to be the debate and everybody just slaughtering each other over politics. I posted that just because I felt like Facebook time feeds just need a little breakup. And if we threw one little baseball thing in there in between people at each other's throats.
There was three other games you could have posted on Facebook about. Three other games, well, or the other four today. You didn't have to post about the Yankees.
That is true, but it was the only thing that was going on at the same time or ending at the same time the debate was. So it was just my way of just, hey, let's diffuse this. Here's a little baseball post we can comment on and not fight with each other about politics, because I really want everybody to love each other. That's all that was. And it was really a shot at the Yankees. I was hoping to spur some conversation, but apparently wasn't taking it so.
Now, you weren't doing any of those things. You're lying to us, lying through a grin right now. You've got a bird bleep eating grin on your face because you know exactly what you did. You found the loophole, and this is why everybody, you know, on the staff, I mean, we love you, but we hate you, because these are just, it is so in our face. It is just sticking a middle finger in our face that you would not tweet about the Yankees, but tweet about the Indians and then Facebook about the Yankees to walk around with your piggy tail around what you had said you were not going to do. You said, I'm not emotionally invested. I'm not rooting for this team. The season is over. And you so quickly went back on that. You have, you know, no personal credibility.
That's not true. I mean, you could poll any friends I was in conversation with. The whole night I was negative. I mean, Stanton hits that homer. Of course he hits it when he hits it, because that's what he does. Of course Gardner, now he hits, so they're going to play him over Frazier. This team, in a blowout, made me hate them so many ways last night. That's the truth. That was my mindset. And, one win, great. Cole looked great. I'm happy they did that. But you know what? This is a long way to go, and there's no way that this team's going to keep this up. So I have no problem admitting that. So I was disgusted even in a blowout win last night. I've been very negative on the Yankees.
Well, why didn't you Facebook message about how disgusted you were? Why did you have to Facebook post about one down, 12 to go?
Because that is showing how disgusted I am. Everybody's all high after one win. That's 12 more you have to win right now with this team. That's a long way to go. That's a disgusted celebration. One
that
win, 12
is such
to go.
A lie. That is such a bad
lie. It's not 100% lie.
It's such an unbelievably bad lie.
No, it's not.
It is.
Don't tell me how I was thinking. I'm telling you how I'm thinking.
Because you're grinning, you've got those little chubby pink cheeks that are grinning.
That's not fair. Now you're making me laugh.
And you're looking down at the desk as you talk about this. You can't even look us in the eye over Zoom.
Don't be a body language reader. I'm telling you the truth. You could call my wife today. She'll tell you how miserable I was last night. I'm telling you.
Oh, come on. Bogues,
hi, Chachalacha. It's me, D.A. You had a quick question.
Yeah. Bogues,
she even said, what's wrong with you? They're winning.
D.A., I'm with you 100% on this, but I'm more bothered by the Shane Bieber tweet, because to me, at least on Facebook, he found a loophole because we did not specify Facebook. But you can't tweet last night about Shane Bieber being bad and say it's not a Yankee tweet, because he was bad because the Yankees were hitting him. Tweeting about Shane Bieber struggling last night is tweeting about the Yankees. I expected radio silence about game one last night. So to me, a Bieber tweet violates his agreement more than the Facebook post does.
DA has always said quality over quantity on Twitter. And all that was last night, people thought they were so original with Bieber jokes. And I had the joke of the night on Twitter of surrounding Bieber getting rocked. And what was I supposed
to
do? Not share it? Me. That.
Not share it. Yes, not share, because you said you were not going to share it. You could have tweeted about anything else.
Did you see an all rise out of me, a happy Glaber? You didn't see any of that. You saw me make a joke, a Justin Bieber-related joke about Shane Bieber. That's not tweeting about the Yankees. That
yes, it is, because it's only in play because
the
of the Yankees.
No, that everybody had a Bieber joke, and I had the best in the world last night at a Bieber joke. And I gave you the Waka Waka GIF with it. I checked all the boxes there for good content that had nothing to do with the actual Yankees. That's all.
It's horrible.
It's horrible because you continually slide through life by using very loose ethics. It is just, it's just what you do. And the best part about this tweet is it's the most Mraz thing ever. It's also factually incorrect. You said, man, Bieber really has left the Indians desperito headed into tomorrow. Isn't it despacito?
Yes. Are we going to do
this
mean
now? Desperate. No, I got you, Sean.
That's a desperate. That's a desperate joke? That's a desperation joke?
Oh, excuse me, Pennsylvania yuck. I mean, yes. You're changing the word. Of course it's despacito. That's the joke.
Desperito
that is, the joke.
Is supposed to mean desperate?
Yes, desperate, because the Indians are desperate now. And despacito, a Bieber song. Desperito, like it's, desperate.
It sounds like one of the margaritas you get at Applebee's.
No, because if I didn't tweet that and we were in studio and we were doing a real Indian Yankee segment and I said Desperito, you would go, oh, Mraz, great headline. But because I was supposed to tweet about it and because we're at this headline war with this game, now you're giving me a hard time. That is gold, my friend, gold.
Well, it's not gold, but I understand definitely what you're going not. For there. But it's definitely not the joke of the night on Twitter.
Yeah,
something you
the
can't
joke
even
of the world
about your own joke.
I got a text from Art Stapleton, who covers the Giants for the record, saying that Desperito,
hilarious guy. He's the Seinfeld of Giant
this
reporters.
This guy covers the NFL and texts me, that is one of the funniest Bieber jokes I have ever heard. Thank you.
My goodness.
Art Stapleton.
What's
the deal with Daniel Jones?
Boy, Cal, text you next.
He can't throw. He can't run. He can't move the offense. What's the deal?
That
was
Paul
gold.
Schwartz on line two. Stand by.
Gold. I didn't tweet any happy dancing. I could have tweeted a million things last night with the Yankees. I didn't tweet a damn thing, but I made a Bieber joke.
I love that Art Stapleton is now some type of barometer of humor. Like Art Stapleton takes the stage at the Comedy Cellar.
Well, look, all I'm saying is the guy can laugh. He's reputable.
I don't even know if I would accept Art Stapleton liking a Giants column you wrote. He is certainly not the arbiter of humor.
What's the deal with Joe Josh? Doesn't even wear a robe, for crying out loud.
Tino's laughing.
Well, you know, if this whole argument a headline, right, I give you a Desperito and you totally don't like it. It's ridiculous. It was
it's amazing.
What
also,
John Schmelk think about this, this joke?
I want Pete.
Papa liked it. Bangs didn't. You split the radio booth. So I don't know how to fact.
Let me tell you. Jake Brown, who hosts the Giants podcast for NewYorkPost.com, he texted me and said, this is the best Shane Bieber joke I've ever heard.
I can't believe you played an Art Stapleton card. I mean, come on.
He loved it. I'm just telling you, I got a text of people loving it.
What's the deal with Joe Judge? He's got no gavel. He should have a gavel on the sideline. He's a judge. Where's the gavel?
Your Seinfeld's gotten better.
It's so ridiculous. It's so pathetic.
The song was Despacito. It's Desperito. That is an unbelievable. I mean, I thought on the couch it was brilliant.
This is Bieber? How we got all of those terrible Canadian bacons as well, because you thought all of that was brilliant.
But that's the thing. Now that I'm done with Canadian bacon, I mean, I'm in a stand-up comedy mood here. And if I got some of this stuff, I'm going to use my Canadian bacon writing going forward. And I had a moment last night. I had a moment with Bieber where it fit. And it was an unbelievable ball spike of how funny that was.
What TSN reporter, Bob McKenzie, was using was your Canadian bacon sounding board? Who was chiming in on those bad boys?
Oh, you guys. But now I know what's funny and what's not. So I'm taking to Twitter with my funny.
Okay, well, we need a baseball offshoot for the playoffs of Canadian bacon. If Mraz thinks all these jokes are so good and killing it, we need his daily dong or something like that so that we could do a baseball version of Canadian bacon to hear. Maybe we'll call it American Dong instead of Canadian Bacon. When we come back here on the show, Tracy Wolfson's going to join us. We'll talk NFL with Tracy, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
A no-sweat patented work zone.
Would you get off of Rich Ackerman? Keep Andrew Bogish's name out your mouth, Bradley.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
So glad you're with us on a final Wednesday around here. DA with you on CBS Sports Radio each and every morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by GEICO. Did you know that right now GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit? Car, motorcycle, and RV policies, that's on top of what GEICO could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit Geico.com to learn more. Our next guest is a member of the CBS NFL team who will be doing in Arrowhead Stadium a big one, Chiefs and Patriots. Jim Nantz, Tony Romo, and Tracy Wolfson on the call. And Tracy joins us this morning on the program. Tracy, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Damon?
I'm great. It's always good to talk to you. Thanks so much for joining us. And you know what a great storyline it is that we have these two teams that are still playing at this type of level, even despite changes from the Patriots and Tom Brady leaving. The sense around Foxborough, do you think that they're surprised that Cam Newton is playing this well, or did they kind of have a sense that he still had a lot left of the tank when they signed him?
You know, that's really a good question, but I don't think they would have signed him if they didn't believe he had enough left in the tank, and if they didn't believe that he was 100% healthy, which when we spoke with him, you know, a few weeks back, he said, you know, he is. I think they didn't expect to see him there in June still available. And I think they felt like, wow, we got really lucky here. And not only are you getting a guy who can do multiple things, but you're getting a quarterback who just brings a different type of energy and also a huge chip on his shoulder. And so I think there certainly is surprise as to how these first few games have gone, but I think they've also seen that they can win so many different ways offensively right now. I mean, they don't have necessarily the top, you know, wide receiver, you know, core group going on, but they're able to still, you know, win it with Cam Newton's arm. They're able to just rely on the running backs like we saw last week, or just rely on the option game as we saw basically in week one. So they've been able to win so many different ways. So I think, you know, look, these are just three games. I think now there's a lot more, a few more tests on the way. You have not only the Chiefs on the road, of course, that's always a big one. And then the Bills are coming up and they're playing, you know, extremely well. So I think we're going to see, you know, what this team is really made of and where it is going into the next few weeks, starting with this weekend, certainly.
I'm not sure if you've spoken to Andy Reid yet or will still later on in the week, but my sense is that Andy Reid, after winning that first Super Bowl, must now feel like there's a weight taken off his shoulders and he can really let loose. He's got a quarterback and an offense that lets him get real creative. We saw the underhanded throw on Monday night. We've seen some craziness out of the playbook. Do you think we now have kind of a next version of Andy Reid where he's just going to let it all hang out with total confidence?
I love that. I think so. I think it's, you know, why not? I finally got it. Like you said, the monkey's off the back and let's just go out and have fun. And, you know, who better to do that with than Patrick Mahomes, where you have, you know, he could really do anything and run anything that you throw at him. I mean, that was ridiculous. Not only the shovel pass to Sherman, I mean, the touchdown to Eric Fisher. I mean, so many of those play calls, and a lot of those play calls came back. That's what Andy Reid does. He just loves to go back into those archives and find, you know, different calls and different plays that he can throw back out there. He's so, you know, old school like that. And I think that's what he's doing. I think he's having so much fun coming up with these game plans week to week. And I don't know if he's more relaxed. I don't think so. I think he wants to, you know, win another one. Certainly as soon as you get that first ring, you want more and more. And he's got a quarterback that, you know, not only is so talented, he's so young, you know, he still has so much more to be able to do and accomplish. And then anytime you get, you know, an Andy Reid, Bill Belichick matchup, there is certainly going to be that extra motivation to try and best him once again.
Tracy Wolfson from the NFL on CBS joins us here on the show. Last week, you guys had the Raiders and the Patriots. Patriots ended up winning relatively easily, but Las Vegas clearly has something to build on here after beating the Saints. That was a real eye-opener a couple of Monday nights ago. What's your sense of this Raiders franchise now in year number three under John Gruden and watching kind of the roster grow and develop and more of an identity be created there?
I really like this Raiders team a lot, and you can see what they are building and talking with John Gruden, talking with Derek Carr going into that game last week. They said, we finally have the pieces to be able to really be successful and feel like we have a strong team that can compete with any team in the league. And you did, you saw that in that win against the Saints. But this was a big challenge. I mean, they were coming on a short week, extremely banged up, having to come cross country. I mean, they were behind the eight ball going into this game, and certainly no excuses, but that was certainly the case. And you saw they came out so strong, especially in this defense, which is really the one area they need to improve upon. And so they came out so strong and they contained Cam, and they just kind of ran out of gas in that second half. But I really like this Raiders team. They now have, you know, a new stadium that they can, you know, hopefully fans can attend, and they can get behind this team there in Vegas and just watch this team grow, because I think what they have building right now is something really special.
You had Chiefs Chargers in week two, and that was the week where Tyrod Taylor had the injection by the team doctors right before the game that accidentally punctured his lung and took him out of that game and this past week as well. When did you learn about that? Did you have sense of it? What were you thinking as they just quickly scratched Tyrod Taylor right before kickoff and went to the rookie Justin Herbert?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. So, you know, first off, we're not on the field anymore as a reporter. It's really difficult to get the sense of anything going on from the first row of the stands. And that's one of the biggest things I think about being in the stands, not on the field. The biggest issues that we're having is you can't talk to anyone. It's very hard to communicate. It's hard to see things. And so you don't get that same feel in pregame, you know, where you'd be walking around and saying, huh, why is he warming up? Huh, what's going on here? Why are they talking to him? Now, you know, according to Lynn, it had happened he had found out right before the coin toss. But we would have known, you know, a PR guy might have said to us, or someone might, you know, turn over to me and say, hey, you know, just a heads up, this is what's happening. So it's really difficult not being on the field because that information is really not easily at hand. But the other thing is, I was actually, because we were opening, you know, it was the first game being played at SoFi for the Chargers, we were doing a huge open. I mean, you never expect something like this to happen, right? So we were doing a huge open where I was on the third floor of the stadium doing right before kickoff an open about how amazing this stadium is. So all of a sudden we do this open, we kick off, and, you know, Jim Nance sees Justin Herbert in there and says it. And in my earpiece as I'm up, you know, on the third level hearing, and we have Justin Herbert in there. And so immediately you take off. And that's the other thing. I mean, you're down elevator, you're running downstairs, you can't, it's tarped off. I mean, just to even get into position and then get the information from a PR guy because you're not on the field. So there was a lot to it of not getting, I felt, and especially this is what you hate as a reporter, is not getting the information exactly as you want it. But I was able to take that information, take what we learned from Anthony Lynn the day before where he told us he was banged up and told us he had a rib injury and he was sore going in, and make it into, you know, something. And hey, you know, what's really going on here? And then, of course, you find out, you know, after the fact that it was a shot that had gone wrong.
It's a strange world for everybody around the NFL, specifically the media. That's for sure this year. It is a kind of a bizarre situation. Tracy Wolfson joining us this morning on the show. She's the lead reporter for the NFL on CBS with Nance and Romo coming up this weekend, Chiefs and Patriots. And before we let you go, we know that, you know, we can always rely on you for good sense of humor and some insight as well. And I want to read to you a joke that our producer, Mraz, put out on Twitter last night. And tell us if this is a good joke or a bad joke. This was the Yankees knocking around Shane Bieber, the ace of the Cleveland Indians. And Mraz's tweet was, man, Bieber really has left the Indians desperito headed into tomorrow.
Okay, I can appreciate a corny joke like that.
You can.
I appreciate
that
it.
It works. You think that works?
It works. Very creative. I like it.
Okay. Because we were killing him for it, saying that's not a good joke. That's a horrible joke. But
of
you
course.
Have to. You're going to defend
it. But I'm sure he got a few chuckles out on Twitter from that.
Yeah, a handful. He said that Giants beat reporter Art Stapleton texted him and said that's the best Justin Bieber joke on Twitter right now. So I don't know if the bar is set really low for Art or what.
I love it. Thank you.
Okay, well, there you go. I was surprised to get the chuckle. Tracy Wolfson joins us. So that's going to come up on Sunday, Chiefs and Patriots, the NFL on CBS. We'll be looking forward to that broadcast. Tracy, it's always good to catch up with you. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. No problem.
All right, Mraz, that's a win for you. I didn't think we'd get that much of a chuckle out of, I mean, it wasn't a belly laugh from Tracy, but it was something.
It was an acknowledgement that she could appreciate a corny joke, which I knew it was. And now we have two people around the NFL thinking, I am Mr. Waka Waka here. They love it. They love it. I'm involved. And maybe, now I kind of want to root for Cleveland just to get more Bieber jokes out there as the playoffs progress.
What do you mean, I'm involved? What did that statement mean?
What do you mean, I'm involved?
You said, people love it. I'm involved.
I don't know. I don't know why I just said that. I guess involved in the jokes, the joke writing. I said I'm involved like that?
You just 30 seconds ago said, I love it, I'm involved.
I never said that, okay? I don't know why I just said, I'm going to have to replay the tape. I'm involved in jokes, I think I meant. I had it in my head.
Lonnie
Anybody
tweets.
Anybody want to help me here?
Nope.
Lonnie tweets, hey, DA, Desperito sounds like the number 17, the local Mexican restaurant. Ed tweets, please tell Mraz to workshop all of these tweets with Danielle. No way she would let this stuff get out to the public. Do you think that Danielle would have laughed at Desperito?
Yeah, that's the only thing she likes me for is my cheap comedy. She enjoys that. One time an egg cracked in a supermarket line. I turned to her. I said, excuse me, is this some kind of yolk? And she lost it. She lost it.
Keyword cheap.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That Danielle loves, is this a yolk?
Excuse me, sir. Is this some kind of yolk, like a joke, but it was an egg?
No, we got it. No,
yeah.
We got it.
Oh, she talks about it to this day, how funny it was.
Explain it again.
Andrew Bogish has our headlines this morning. I don't know, Bogues, top that.
Well, I will say that there was some regret I heard from Tracy once you mentioned Art Stapleton. It felt like she didn't want to get on that bus. She was good until Art was involved. Like, maybe not.
Yeah.
On a more serious note, these are troubling times in America, so this is exactly what the country needs right now.
Here's a 2-2. Swung on and hit in the air to left center field. Back goes Naylor at the wall, and it is gone. It's a two-run home run for Gleyber Torres. It went over the high wall and just dunked in the first row. It's Gleyber Day. And like a good Gleyber, Torres is there.
Oh. John Sterling on Yankees Radio. It was indeed Gleyber Day in Cleveland to start the postseason. Torres knocked out the likely AL Cy Young, Shane Bieber, with that two-run shot in the fifth. Bieber allowed 7 runs and 9 hits over 4 2/3. Both of those are season highs. The Yanks cruising to a 12-3 win. And as my friend Sean wrote on Facebook last night, one down, 12 more to go. But I thought, Dia, that again was a celebratory tweet, or message, I should say. But more importantly, it was more of a cautionary tale to Yankee fans. Not get too excited just yet. But either way, the math is correct in some of an upset. They did win one, and they would need 12 more victories to be world champs once again. Only the Rays won at home yesterday, 3-1 over the Blue Jays. 4-1 wins for the White Sox in Oakland and the Astros in Minnesota. All four of those series continue today while the four NL series start. The Padres play their first playoff game in 14 seasons at 2 Pacific against the Cardinals. Chris Paddock will start today. We'll see if Mike Clevinger and Danilson Lamed and their arm injuries are even on the roster later this morning. Serena Williams is out of the French Open, withdrawing this morning before playing her second round match because of an Achilles injury. Serena got it during the U.S. Open, doesn't think she could get through 2 weeks in Paris. Stan Wawrinka and 29th-seeded Amanda Anisimova among the early winners here on day 4. Rafael Nadal leads Mackie McKenzie 2-0 right now. The NBA bubble now only holds 2 teams. The Lakers and the Heat start the finals at 9 Eastern this evening at Disney World. Nothing new yet this morning about the Titans and Vikings games this weekend. The NFL dealing with its first COVID-19 outbreak thanks to 8 positives in Tennessee. Pittsburgh's supposed to come to town on Sunday while Minnesota is slated for Houston. The Vikings hosted the Titans last weekend, so they too have closed their facility.
And unfortunately, one more Titan player this morning tested positive.
Is that true?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Just breaking, yes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, guys, it seems like nothing will keep the Jets and Broncos from playing tomorrow night. Denver will have a new starting QB.
Now we're going to start Brett. I keep calling him Mark at the times because of his uncle. But we're going to go with Brett.
That's Vic Fangio stumbling upon a random rip-in to play quarterback over Jeff Driscoll. who still may see the field against Gangrene. Brett Rippon is the Broncos.
That's perfect for Vic Fangio, who's probably 20 years beyond a serviceable NFL head coach, thinking he's actually turning to Mark Rippon coming up on in this game.
They got to figure it out.
Whichever Rippon it is, he's the ninth starting QB for the Broncos since Peyton Manning won Super Bowl 50 for them. The Las Vegas Aces held off the Connecticut Sun last night 66-63 to reach the WNBA Finals. They face the Seattle Storm now on starting on Friday. And how about some college poops poop talking? Kentucky and Louisville have been trading barbs over their annual meeting. The Wildcats first wanted a date change. The Cardinals then wanted to play at a neutral site instead of an empty home gym. Back and forth they went. This was Louisville head coach Chris Mack on social media last night.
As for the UK series, here's the thing. I want to do what's most convenient for John and his program. You do believe that, right? That I want to do what's best for John? Listen, I don't want to stand in the way of college basketball's best rivalry. Whatever is most convenient for Coach Cal, we'll do it. See you in the Center. Go Cards.
So they are playing after all. The game will be on December 26th, according to a tweet after that video from John Calipari. And one more note, it's the reason why Sean is dressed the way he is. The Rangers are buying out legendary goalie Henrik Lundqvist later today. He has 1 year left on his contract. He's apparently going to play somewhere else next season, while the Rangers have two younger goalies right now. Lundqvist is sixth all-time in wins and has basically every major goalie record in team history. DA, back to you.
By the way, I'm pretty excited, actually, about Brett Rippon getting this start, because Brett Rippon actually has a pretty significant place in DA show lore. He was on the show when we went out to Boise to do our morning show out there a couple of years ago. We went out there two falls ago now for a Boise State game. And we have such an amazing affiliate in Boise that have loved the show for many years. And so we went out there. They invited us out there. We went to a Boise State game, Smurf Turf, the whole deal. And Brett Rippon came on the show, and he was great. He came on live in front of the crowd. We did kind of like a college game day setup where we had listeners coming out to where we were broadcasting from to watch the show. And Coach came out, and Rippon came out, and he was great. They were both great. It was a lot of fun. And then, unfortunately, Boise State in that offense kind of laid an egg the next day, and they lost the game against San Diego State, and it was primarily because the offense was so dreadful that day. Rippon ended up going undrafted, but it's kind of cool now also because that's big Broncos country in Boise, so there's a lot of crossover there. If you're a Boise State fan, there's a lot of Broncos fans in that Rocky Mountain area. So could Rippon actually lock down a couple of decent weeks with Drew Lock out? That'll be kind of cool. So we'll see with the Broncos taking on the Jets. When we come back here on the show, you'll have to stick around for advanced analytics, because how does the Wizard of Watch DA give us stats behind Mraz calling a hot dog a dong to the face? Find out next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
Well, earlier in the morning, we learned an unfortunate reality that Mraz, when requesting a hot dog from a neighbor on the grill, says, quote, "I'd like a dong to the face." That's what he insists. And he insists that his neighbor knows exactly what he means. "I want one of your hot dogs, good sir," off of that hot searing grill. Mraz insists that many people know this phrase, and so I thought this was a very important poll question today. Have you ever heard of the phrase, quote, "dong to the face," in referring to hot dogs? Or, as the poll question tests, is Mraz the only one that refers to a hot dog as a, quote, "dong to the face"? 92% of you said, "I've never heard of this," which is a remarkable, overwhelming majority, obviously, but it leaves 8% of people that know that Mraz was talking about a hot dog. 8% of you have used the phrase or understand the phrase, "I'd like a dong to the face," when you see the soubrette guy on the side of the road. 8% of you go up to the hot dog vendor at a ball game and say it like a dong to the face, or expect him to know what you mean when you request
yelling down the aisle to him?
Hey, I need two.
Hey, two dongs to the face. Two dongs to the face over here.
I would not pass your money down to him if I was sitting next to you.
Like when you go to the grocery store and you need to get a pack of Nathan's, do you say, where's the aisle with the dongs to the face? Where's the aisle with the dongs?
No, it's only a dong to the face when you actually start eating it. It's just a flat-out dong, yeah. You got any dongs on sale? All right.
You okay, got any dongs on sale? Hey, dude, got any dongs on sale?
Like, where's your dongs aisle?
What'd you say?
You're in the wrong store, sir.
I'll kill you right now.
Talk about a bank.
This is a King Cullen. I don't know where you think you are.
Now, according to our research department, Advanced Analytics with CAP, Americans purchase 350 million pounds of hot dogs every year. That's 9 billion hot dogs purchased every year by Americans. The origin of the hot dog comes from sports cartoonist Tad Dorgan, who caricatured German figures as dachshund dogs back in the early 1900s. Generally, he gets credit for this because he could not spell dachshund, so he'd use the phrase hot dog. Originally, it was called a Wienerwurst, and the wiener was brought here by German-Americans. The term in German for Vienna sausage was eventually shortened to wiener. And the reigning champ of hot dog eating is, of course, a villain here on the show, a guy that will never be allowed back on the airwaves, Joey Chestnut, who has the world record for most hot dogs at 73. That's equivalent to about 16 pounds of hot dogs or 42 billiard balls. Oh! He's got 42 billiard balls of hot dogs in his gullet every single July 4th.
Pool dongs.
Pool
dongs. How do you think you feel about having the world record for dongs to the face? Tell that to Joey Chestnut.
That's the only way I would have him back on, if that was the only question I asked him. All right, Joe, we're done here. Hey, Joe, how do you feel about having 73 dongs to the face? What would you say to me? Okay, we're done.
Well, remember, he did make a lot of Jenna Jameson references when he was in the studio, if you remember correctly.
It was this the fail as well here, guys?
Yeah, it's a morning of dongs, DA. We got. I try to explain myself on the fail.
Okay, here it is, your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Dan tweets, nope, Merez, wrong. You're wrong. I've heard taking something to the face or the head in regards to eating or drinking, but a dong to the face? Absolutely nobody in the free world calls a hot dog a damn dong.
And now he's taking him out of the bun.
Well, clearly there are, because I do. I'm really not trying to be funny. It's just like a slang way to call hot dog. And again, this is what's great about doing a national show. You learn things, right? Like, there's Dan, you know, living close to Ole Miss, and he's never heard the term dong. All right? You got, you know, Rob in Topeka. He's never heard the term dong. Some people up in the Northeast call hot dogs dong. Some people out there call them hot dogs. Some people call them wieners. Some people call them, I don't know, Polish hot dogs, right? There are different things that you could call all of these things.
Chorizo!
Frankfurter, you're right. You never hear Frankfurter anymore. There's different words. So what? I call it a dong. I take a dong to the face. Big deal.
Cap has just tweeted, I think I've done enough damage to my internet history by Googling hot dongs.
Check your inbox later.
You guys need your mind out of the gutter. Enjoy a good hot dong.
Cap, you might want to clear your cookies.
Bunless, oh, he's going to dip the bun in any.
All right. For the Titans.
I think I might have figured this out before you change subjects.
Yeah.
Remember last week we floated the idea that maybe Sean's friends had planted misinformation to trick him all along? And to see if he could figure it out, maybe again somebody said to him, you know what you should call that? A hot dong to the face. And now they just sit back and laugh every time he keeps using it.
Everyone says it.
We have not served alcohol to him before, if you're watching on the stream, but he sure looks intoxicated by this competition.
Come on. Don't you want a little dong, Sean? Don't you want a little dong in your mouth? And your take a dong to the face, Sean.
Nothing better than a dong on a bun in the face.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
All right. It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. This question comes to us from our boss, who says, when will the show get back on track? Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. No, that's not true. That's not true. So David in Minnesota says, DA, who do you like in the NBA Finals? Do you think LeBron and the Lakers are just too much for the Cinderella Heat? And I do, yes. NBA Finals tips off tonight, game number one. I like the Lakers in six. And I think it's a great matchup. I love watching the Heat play basketball. I love the way that they're constructed. I love their heart. I love their chemistry. I love how everybody has a different role and that somebody steps up every game. But I just think at the way, the level the Lakers are playing with AD and LeBron, it's going to be too much. Give me Lakers in six. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the wheels of Steel and Audio Director. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, and Andrew Bogish on your headlines. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership Disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.